If you want to open your Bible, and if the Bible, let's see, that's in front of you, in the chair back in front of you, probably, let me double check what page number. I'm guessing, I'm looking, 1385. Sometimes if you're new to the Bible, it's really hard to find places. Page 1385, we're going to read a story about a man named Matthew. Actually, the man that wrote the Gospel of Matthew is going to include his encounter with Jesus, and it changed everything for him. But before I tell you more about Matthew, let me tell you about Krista. Now, this is not a Krista from our church. This is not a Krista that I've pastored. I read this in a book, a story. I wouldn't tell your dirty laundry in public. I might be tempted to, but I wouldn't. Krista's story, actually, she was a wild child, probably in the worst sense of the word. She grew up on a small cherry farm near Traverse City, Michigan. Any Michigan people here? There was at first service, and I'm glad I didn't make fun of Michigan people. That would have been awkward. Now that I know there's no Michigan people, it's fair game, right? She grew up cherry farm, but she looked at her parents as though they were like out of date, old-fashioned, kind of weird, just this attitude of disrespect. They didn't understand her piercings. They didn't get her tattoos. There was tension. One night, Krista and her parents had this huge fight. And at the end of it, she slams the door and screams to them, "I hate you!" and walks out. She already had a plan in her head, really. Fantasy plan of going to Detroit. Like, that tells you how messed up she was. Like, I can't wait to get to Detroit. She runs away from home and goes to Detroit. And she wasn't there very long, and I don't know, maybe this seemed pretty awesome, but she met this guy. And he seemed warm and nice and drove the most expensive car she'd ever seen. He was very willing to take her in, taught her things that would make her some money on the streets. And because she was young, I mean, what's that phrase, fresh off the farm, kind of? I don't apologize. I'm just going to tell you this. That on the streets of Detroit, she brought top dollar for her services. And as time went on, right, she gets older. She picks up a drug habit, which is pretty common. But she stops bringing in top dollar, and the people that she thought loved her kicked her out on the street. No money, a drug habit to support in Detroit. One night she thinks back to those springs in Traverse City on the cherry tree farm. She remembers lying beneath the cherry trees, looking up through the blossoms or the leaves. And she realizes that renting her body on the streets is no way to live. She decides to head north. She wants a fresh start. Maybe she'll move to Canada, start over. But on her way north, I don't know if you'd call this impulse or if it was, I don't know what you'd call it, but she'd try something. She really didn't think it would work. But she called her parents. Nobody answered. So she left a message telling them that she was going to be on the bus that passes through Traverse City on her way to Canada. And if they wanted to see her, she'd be at the bus station around midnight. She hangs up the phone, and then she thought, well, that leaving the message was kind of a stupid thing to do. Because the odds are, you start listening to the self-talk in her head, odds are they're probably happy that she's gone. Like their life is good without me, you know? Or she thinks, oh, if they're going to show up and they're just going to grind my face in it, they're going to shame me, they're going to condemn me. Why did I say I was coming through Traverse City? Do you understand loops in your head? Loops? I think it goes back to like tape players or something, which you realize most of this congregation's never seen a cassette tape? It's that thoughts that just won't go away. And hers, you can hear the negativity and the I'm worthless. You can hear the nobody cares about me because I've screwed up too bad. I'm too far gone. She's on the bus. As she gets close to Traverse City, you can see those green road signs 30 miles away, 15 miles away. The bus driver, Traverse City, next stop, Traverse City. She gets to the bus station, and the bus driver says, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. And Krista's got to decide, am I going to get off the bus or not? I know that's a tough story, and I know that's an intense story. But for most of us, that's the way life is. In the Bible, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew shares part of his autobiography. Matthew's going to be very honest with us about himself. There's some cultural gap, meaning we're going to read some words here and we're going to miss a little bit of the significance. Matthew's first readers would have been maybe gasping just a bit. Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Would you guys read the words of Jesus? See if you can, ready? I'll set you up for that one more time. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus told him, and Matthew got up and followed Jesus. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said,